So here we are, Central Park, the ultimate block party, your vision, your dream, your baby, along with a number of other people as well. But how do you feel? I gather there's been 45,000 people here. It's immense.
It's unbelievable. They tell us actually there have been over 50. I just can't believe it. I'm elated. I am elated, Roger. This really shows that you can take the science of learning, put it in the hands of real families, and they get it.
So tell me the question I've been asking everybody. The relationship between play, which you assume is stuff that you don't, that you do when you're not learning, and learning.
Well, look, we've always assumed play and learning are divorced, but they're really not. As opposed to saying learning versus play, we should be saying learning via play. It turns out that when you're building a skyscraper and trying to feel the brace supports, you're learning spatial learning, and you're learning about how physics works. You're becoming an engineer, and you're feeding into STEM disciplines. When you're listening to the music that's going on in the background, that rhythm is part of mathematics. So if we make the connections from the research that we have done for decades, then people will start to see the value of play and will understand that learning is not divorced from play, it's part and parcel.
Now, there are other folks here from other science of learning centers. You talked to them all before.
Well, our beautiful white coats, as you can see, and we have our little sign, Play Doctor. And these are some of the best scientists in the country are here today. We had a top neuroscientist who was sitting in the brain exhibit for a while telling children how the brain works. We've had people who study bilingualism, who are in the bilingual bingo, talking about dual language learning. And parents are leaving, and instead of saying, will my child be in trouble by having two languages? They're saying, wow, I want my child to learn too. So we're learning as we're playing, as we're engaging.
One of the things that I do is I go around and talk to other researchers. I'll be having a long conversation with you later. Is I pull out recent magazine covers. New York Times, various other things. And they're all, a lot of them are things like fire bad teachers. We must build better teachers. And I keep on saying, shouldn't we be building better learners?
Yes.
And doesn't that involve the brain?
Amen. I mean, look, there's a lot of pieces to that question. The first thing is that even if we have the greatest teachers, and I think some of the people out there are the greatest teachers, the teacher alone cannot close the achievement gap. It's been around for a long time, and we know that some 14% on average of our time, our waking time for children, is spent in school. That means there's a lot of waking time that's not in school, and we need to have opportunities for children to get rich content, to learn how to play, to learn how to have strong, you know, executive function and control. And the people who do that research are all here. Simon Says, one example. We just had the world's largest Simon Says. Simon Says teaches emotional regulation and control. And who was one of the scientists behind it? Well, we had two, in fact, who fed us information for this Simon Says. Paula Talal, who does this work in the brain. We had another person who was here, Elena Bedrova, who wrote the Tools of the Mind curriculum. Can you get better than that? So every one of these activities born in a nugget of science. It's not just what you do in school. And firing every teacher and hiring only the best will take us part way, but it will not take us the whole way.
The other thing I hear a lot when I'm talking about these various issues, and nobody's saying teachers are bad, I'm saying build better teachers and better learners.
Better learners, yeah.
But the other thing that people keep on firing back at me is, well, yeah, great, but we need to get more parents involved.
Right, absolutely. And when you build the right kinds of activities, parents will be involved. If you look around the park today, one of the things I hope you'll capture with your cameras is that it's not the parents sitting on the sidelines watching the children, it's the parents playing with the children. And in some of the research that I've done, I talk about guided play. And that's where the child's making choices, but there's a good facilitator on the other side helping to draw out the important lessons, images, and constructs that are going on all the time.
So this is a prototype. This is
a prototype.
Scalable. You can move this anywhere.
Well, yes, but in a very important way, we want to make sure that as we do build better learners, and as parents change the lens on the way they think about learning, that the other thing that we're doing is we're also creating a model that can be generic to a number of different places. And let me just give you an example. This is New York. This is all the diversity of New York with the activities of New York. When we move to Dallas, when we move to Houston, it's got to be what happens in Texas. When we go to LA, it has to have the flavor of LA, because learning takes place across a wide swath of contexts, and you just build the context to suit the area and then fly with it and let the principles reign supreme.